might increase, and allow your word to change us forever. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hey, tomorrow is Joe Forkell's birthday. Does everybody know Joe? Anybody not know Joe? Old Joe and Judy sit in the corner. He's 71. He is an awesome man of God. If you ever want to get encouraged, pick up the phone and call him. Call him tomorrow and wish him happy birthday. If I have his phone number, call me. I'll give you his phone number.
Don't forget to get registered for the conference. I've got to get my rooming list in quickly, like tomorrow. So hurry up and get registered if you haven't done that this Friday. We have cell group here. We're going to be watching a movie. Be watching Grace Card. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to come see it.
We will have plenty of tissues.
7 o'clock, the Grace Card. If you could.
We're going to watch the Grace Card on Friday.
It's a very good movie.
Maybe we'll ask you the question that we asked the young adult discipleship. It was awesome. So Bethy has an emergency phone call that she has to make. And she says, she's got to go run off after we ask this question. We had mostly teenage girls, but we had several young men there also. And so I am left here in this room with this. I was thinking the very same thing.
Yeah, but they stayed in the back, you noticed, unless I was praying for people.
They had each other.
But she left me, I'm like, here I am left with these teenage girls to comfort. And it's not that I am a particularly bad comforter. It's this place where they needed to let some of this out. He was growing me, that's for sure. I don't. Now I have, well, actually I have a daughter now. I have one daughter. My Jamie is my daughter.
Do you have a granddaughter?
And I have a granddaughter. Here's what my granddaughter said. She was over the other day, and she looks at me, and she's going, blah, 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 blah. And I said, Kaylee, you yap a lot. And she looks at me, and she goes, I know, Poppy, you said it because girls talk a lot. Yeah, I did. Okay. There you go. I'll be quiet. So if that offended you, I apologize. But girls talk a lot. And to a mother of 5 girls, she said, amen. So.
Somebody do me a favor and run in the kitchen and turn the light off, please. Thank you.
Oh, I thought she was going to do a Bo Duke. Does everybody know what a Bo Duke is?
Yeah.
Slide across. Even what? Even the youngins? That's the only one they get a silly remake.
It was
it's
so
like,
cool.
It's like Noelle. I know that show. I'm like, yeah, you know, from Nickelodeon rerun, TV Land, or like, whatever. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying.
So our grandchildren were over on Monday, and it was really cool because I woke up, couldn't sleep very well, and so I'm kind of laying there Monday morning, and Jerry's still asleep, and I'm laying there next to him, and I'm talking to God. And I said, you know, God, I miss my grandbabies. I think I'd like to see them. It's been a while since I saw them. It'd be a good day to see them. And literally, within an hour, Jerry's phone rings, and it's Jamie, or Cody, one of the two, saying, can you watch the grandbabies today? And it was so cool and such a neat little thing. You know, we've been talking about hearing the voice of God and how he hears our voice. And one of the things that I did a child care for years out of my home for about 10 years. And I was always trying to look for ways that I could communicate the message to these little children from the time they were very young, that God hears their voice, that he likes to hear their voice, and that they can hear the voice of God. So our grandbabies came over and they walked through the door and I said, I just want to tell you what happened to me this morning. I said, you know that I prayed that I would see you today. And here you are. And so I just want to encourage you, when you have those simple little prayers that God answers for you, that are connected to other people, take the time. Because you just don't know how it might encourage them to know, A, that they're an answer to one of your prayers, just by them showing up to see you. You know, the kids thought they were just coming over because mom and dad needed a place for them to go. But really, Jesus sent them to my house because I needed to see him that day. Isn't that awesome? Kaylee says to me, she wraps her arms around me. She goes, you know what, Grammy? She says, I love you so much. Now, she's four. She says, I love you to the moon and back, and I love you to the stars and back. And I love you to my house and back, and I love you to your house and back. I just love you, Grammy. I'm like, oh my God, so great. You are so great, Jesus. Thank you for sending this little precious child to my house today. Within hours of me saying, gosh, I'd like to see my grandchildren. Isn't God good? This is so good. So good. So I would just say to you, that's how Jesus loves you. To heaven and back.
Amen. Literally.
Literally.
All right, tonight we're going to be talking about pursuing his voice.
Hallelujah.
Your pursuit?
Your voice.
You don't think my voice is on?
No.
Is my voice on, Andy?
Your voice is on. The headset is not.
Well, this is going to make so much difference.
There he is.
Apparently. Fancy that. I need one that has a remote so Andy can turn it on. Bypass operator error. Pursuing God, pursuing his voice, part two. Part two.
Part two. Guess what next week's going to be? There you go.
How many of you know that pursuing the voice of God is a good thing? John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Last Tuesday, we talked about how critical it is for the sheep of his field to know his voice and to listen to his voice. Amen? It's one thing to hear the voice of God. It's another thing to listen.
Yes.
I will say that again. It's one thing to hear the voice of God. It's another thing to listen. What if Moses had only heard the voice of God? Things would be radically different. He listened and obeyed. We discussed how many of the Christians, the sheep of his field, say this. And honestly, as a pastor, we hear this a lot. I just don't hear his voice. He doesn't speak to me like he speaks to everybody else. I just know everybody else in the world is hearing his voice. I hear people say it all the time. And God told me. Am I right? Come on, I'm preaching better than you're talking. Because we're as Christians trying to hear something. We're as Christians. Will you turn that speaker that way just a hair bit? Just push it that way. There you go. That's good. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to hear the voice of God, right? Does everybody want to hear the voice of God?
Amen.
Can I tell you? Read your Bible. The people of God did not always want to hear the voice of God. Moses said, the Lord himself has said, to prepare yourself and to show up at the foot of the mountain and he will speak to us. And they said, you go talk to him. We're scared of him. So it is a good thing to hear his voice. But you have to believe it, right? Amen. You have to believe that you can hear it. Amen. And that it does exist. Because you won't do what you don't believe you can do. And so people who say, I just can't hear the voice of God, they probably aren't going to. I'm just going to say, you're probably not going to hear it with that thought. Because you won't seek or sacrifice what you don't value. Look, if you value the voice of God, you have to believe in it. And you have to believe that you have the ability to hear it. Amen?
Amen.
Because, see, otherwise you can't value it. I want you to think about the Super Bowl's coming up. What if those Super Bowl teams didn't know if they were going to get paid to be the winners? They didn't know that there was a trophy. They didn't know they were going to... I mean, you think they'd be playing? I don't think they'd be playing. See, the prize is the voice of God.
Come on.
The trophy is the voice of God that we are pursuing. You're not going to value it if you don't believe in it. And you won't seek out or sacrifice what you don't believe exists. Do you believe the voice of God exists?
Yes.
You're okay.
I love it. Just got them wrapped up.
But it's so true. We have to value his voice if we're going to sacrifice for it. We have to value it or we're not going to passionately pursue and seek after it. Now, the Lord speaks to his flock in many different ways. Next Tuesday night, we're going to talk about the multiple different ways that he does. But it is so radically, critically important for the children of God to know, but they know the voice of their Father. Not the voice of the imposters, the impersonators, the distractors, and the dictators. I'm going to tell you, those are the voices we hear, which is the voice of the imposters, those that tell you they're God's voice, the impersonators, the voice of the distractors, the million voices you hear all day long that make it so hard for you to hear the voice of God, or the dictators. That's the voice that tell you all day long, you have to listen to me. I'm the most important thing. I'm sorry, you don't have time to listen to God because you must listen to me. You have to make this decision now. You have to. That's the dictator voice in your life. And we all have them. We talked about signs being one of the ways, and we're going to be talking about this next week, that the Lord speaks to his children, but it shouldn't be the only way that he does. To an unbeliever, signs are necessary because an unbeliever he's not a sheep, so they don't hear the voice of God. And so signs are what he uses so that they can see that there is a living God out there that exists. And they can go, oh my gosh, the Red Sea just parted. Oh my gosh, did you look in that fiery furnace? We threw those people in there and they walked out the other side. Can I tell you, that got some people's attention that didn't believe. And after they saw that, then they believed.
See, to the unbeliever or the baby believer, signs and wonders are teachers. They're warners. They're encouragers. They build within us confirmation, right? I mean, that's what those signs and wonders do to the baby believer and to the unbeliever. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar. Is not there three people? Didn't we throw three people in there? Because I see four. And one is as the Son of God. Can I tell you, that was a confirmation when those men walked out? Okay. Nobody does anything before we talk to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See? Mm-hmm. But to mature believers, they're simply confirmations of what we know. That's what it's supposed to be. A sign or a wonder, a miracle. If you saw the ocean part before you and the voice of the Lord said, walk, that would only be a confirmation to you of what God is doing. If you pray, lay hands on somebody and see them healed, I pray that you go, yes, I serve a healing God. Certainly, this is merely confirmation of what I already know to be the truth. What I've heard and what I believe, right? Does that change what you believe and what you know if you don't see it? one. To everybody else, if you don't see the miracles, signs, or wonders, does it change what you believe?
No.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I just want everybody's attention. Thanks, Abby.
You know, think about it this way. When you're a baby Christian, it's kind of like when you're a baby. Babies are cute. They go through this phase where they believe that you're there if they can see that you're there. Or if they can hear that you're there. But if they cannot hear you there and they cannot see you there, then you're not there anymore. Isn't that how we were when we were baby believers? And some of you might be in that place right now where it's like, it's scary sometimes. I'm like, are you still here? Are you really here? I can't hear you. I can't see you. I can't feel you. Does that mean you've left me? Does that mean you're mad at me? Does that mean you're not here anymore? Do you know what? That is a normal state for a baby believer to be in. Just like it's normal for a baby. We have a living room and it's a circle. So there's a living room and a kitchen and you can run around like this. And I would have babies in the living room. And if I walked into the kitchen, they would scream hysterically because they thought I left them. Now, the minute I showed my face or the minute I said, hey, I'm right here, they were just fine. So see, those signs, those wonders, for baby believers, God uses them oftentimes to say, look, I'm still here. Or sometimes he'll use them for baby believers to say, to encourage them, I want you to know that I heard your prayers. And I healed that person. You took time and you went all the way across town to that hospital to pray for that person. And he'll want to show you, you know what? I hear your prayers. I'm with you. I'm right beside you. But again, to the mature believer, they're confirmers of what they already know, of what they've already heard,
see,
what they already believe.
I want you to get that visual. Do you know that it's very normal for a one-year-old? There's a specific age. I don't remember. It's 9 months to like a year. Where they go through this phase of, if I can't see you, mm-hmm. you do not exist. Now, for some of us as believers, that's very normal also. In that first period of your salvation, you're like, I don't see the hand of God. Is he really there?
Okay, now, how many, just so everybody understands, how many went through that phase as a baby believer? Okay, so if you're in this phase right now, don't feel condemned. This is normal. This is a normal part of growth in Christ. You're
okay.
Just like, I don't know, are you there?
So how many of you would think it was abnormal if I walked out of the room and Andy began to throw a fit, my daddy's gone, he's dead, he's not ever coming back. At age 22, you would think that was a little awkward, right? But you would just go like, oh, uh-huh. There's some issues, right? Then why as mature believers do we do that? Some of you who have known the Lord for some time and have been walking with him and have seen signs and miracles and wonders and things, and you know the truth, and you get to this point, and all of a sudden you go, oh, God is gone. He's abandoned me. Come on now. You've called me, so don't act all high and mighty. And the truth is, we do. I think God has abandoned me. Really? I want you to think, when you get this thought of Andy, my 22-year-old son back there, laying on the ground, kicking and screaming, my daddy's gone! Son, I went to the bathroom. Oh, okay. Because that's what we do. God shows up, and then we go, I knew it all the time. I knew that. The book of Mark, chapter 16. Verses 19 and 20. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. And the disciples all threw themselves on the ground and said, he's gone! Oh, yeah, it doesn't say that. Wait a minute. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So, wait a minute. Jesus left. And we don't see the disciples flailing around all of a sudden and going, ah! Right? Okay, why? See, because they had heard the voice. They just spent 40 days with Jesus. speaking to them after his resurrection. Read about it in your word. He had been talking with them, eating with them, discipling them again. Now, I guarantee you that 40 days made much more difference than the first 3 years. Because when he left the first time, you know what they did? Until he sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, it's going to be okay. So that we would comprehend it. Why? See, after that 40 days, they remembered the voice of their God and their Savior. People who struggle hearing the voice of God struggle with faith.
Always. If you struggle believing that you can hear the voice of God, you will always, always struggle with your faith. Many see the signs and the movement of God all around them, but they don't feel like they really know the voice of my Father. And those people continually, over and over and over again, struggle with feelings of insecurity and frustration with God and in their walk with God. It's kind of like, imagine it like this. Imagine there's 10 kids. You happen to be one of them. Every day, daddy goes to work, daddy comes home. Daddy goes to work, then daddy comes home. And every day the daddy comes home, he walks through the front door, and he greets all the kids, and he feeds the kids, and he sits down, has dinner with the kids, and plays with the kids a little bit, and puts all the kids to bed. And every single night, he says something to every single kid except you. Now, how are you going to feel? I see you're here. I recognize you're here. I see you doing things here. Why do you talk to everybody here except me? You hug me. You sit down and have dinner with me. Why don't you talk to me? See, this is how Christians feel. I see you. I see the movement of the Holy Spirit. I've even seen you answer some prayers. But how come I feel like every day that everybody else hears you more clearly than me? And it makes you feel insecure. And then when you get done feeling insecure, you get a little frustrated. You get a little angry. You know what? You and I, we've known each other 10 years. How come I still can't hear your voice? How come I still wonder if it's your voice? Why does daddy run around and talk to everybody but me? Maybe he doesn't trust me. And then you begin to struggle with your faith. Does he really hear me? Maybe he doesn't talk to me because he doesn't trust me. Maybe he hasn't heard my prayers at all. The next thing you know, I'm in the place of insecurity again.
Maybe I'm not as special as everybody else. Come on now. Maybe I've done something. I see him, but I don't hear him. I know he's around. Am I really hearing him? Is that really his voice? Is he really just speaking to everybody else? And I just can't get it. Look, we hear this all the time. Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. By what?
Hearing.
And
by what?
Hearing? By the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. What are we talking about tonight? Pursuing the voice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those who are of faith are confident and know the voice of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, if you're struggling in faith, this message is for you. Because if you feel like I give up. Look, this is what we're talking about. This is one of the things. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They see him working in all of the signs and the wonders and the miracles around him that confirm what they've already been hearing. So when I walk in and I see, and somebody goes, Jesus healed my dad. I don't go, holy smoke! Really? I go, amen. That's who he is.
Come on.
Do you know God answered my prayer?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. That's what he told me he would do for you. Strangely enough, he told you he would do that for you also. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It confirms what you've already been hearing.
Again, this is why we're talking about this, because we want you to know that you can hear the voice of God. And we want you to help to know how to know the voice of God versus the voice of the imposter, the voice of the impersonators, the distractors, the dictators. People of really, really, really strong faith. They have this confidence. I can hear the voice of God. In my alone time with Him, and when I'm reading the Word, I can hear the voice of God. I know. We went, when we went on that conference back in February and we were gone for a week, they had us go and sit and say, just listen for the voice of God. And the first thing God said to me when I was sitting there was this. He said, you hear me. You always hear me. Now, I know I hear the voice of God, but I'm going to tell you, to hear that one more time felt awesome. to know what I know, but I know again, that in difficult situations where there are hard decisions to be made, that I can hear the voice of God and to receive that confidence. So many people treat their relationship with Jesus kind of like the relationship between Charlie Brown and Lucy. Anybody old enough to read the comic strips, Charlie Brown and Lucy? You remember that? You remember? Okay, so they're friends and they
hang
out.
Who doesn't know Charlie Brown and Lucy?
Some people might not.
You are playing.
It's been out of print for a long time. But they were friends and they hung out together. And they talked and they did all these things and they were kind of antagonists. But when Charlie Brown needed advice about something specific, what did he do? He would always go find Lucy and he would pay for advice.
Remember her little psychiatrist stand?
You remember that?
Advice.
Isn't that hilarious? Now yet, he was around her all the time. And yet he would go and pay for advice in specific situations. Now, this is what people do with Jesus a lot. They're not just talking to him and learning how to hear his voice on a general day-to-day basis. And so when they get into a crisis or a pressured situation and I really need to make a decision, I don't know what to do, I run to Jesus and I pay to get some advice. So instead of just day-to-day hearing the general voice of God and knowing that I can just hear the voice of God every day and the things that are happening around me, I wait until that crisis situation when I need to hear a specific word, and then I'm running around and I'm going to pay to try to get a specific word. Well, this is why people are never confident. One of the reasons, if I'm really hearing right, because I haven't been hearing you on the day-to-day basis. She's going for a walk with her dog and she hears the voice of God say, put the leash on the dog. That's just a general everyday. That's not like I have this much money to my name. Lord, I can either put it here or I can put it here. What should I do? I need a really specific answer here. This is just put your leash on your dog. She could hear that because she has been spending a lot of time in the last year and a half learning in the general day-to-day how to hear the voice of God. But this is why people miss it, because they run around in the last minute trying to pay with their time or they're fasting to, quick, I need a voice for, I need to know. And it's very hard for them because they're not doing it in the day-to-day.
Because we wait for a specific need, not the general relationship. It's like your uncle who's wealthy and you call him up around tax time. Hey, uncle, how you doing? Been wondering how are you feeling and really care about you. And by the way, can I borrow $5,000? That's what most people do with Jesus. It's like, I mean, we're tight. I mean, talk to him. Last time I needed something. Right? See, seeking him earnestly now. And this is to say, people who come to church in crisis, it's not a bad thing. But this is, as believers, day-to-day believers, we have to understand. People, when you come to crisis, to Jesus in crisis only, my marriage is falling apart, my children have run away, my finances are down the toilet, my boss is going to fire me, blah, 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 whatever. I need you now. And they earnestly come, and they earnestly will fast, and earnestly will pray. I'm not hearing anything. Well, actually, you're probably just so unfamiliar with it. It's hard to hear the infrequent, specific words of your Savior when you're unwilling to seek Him for the general, day-to-day parts of your life. You are familiar with my voice because you've heard it more than once. If I pick up the phone and I call you, you'll go, "That's Jerry's voice." If you've never met me and I pick up the phone and I go, "Tabitha Kraft," you go, "Who is this?" Right? See, that's what we do. People are trying to hear specifics, but they're not willing to listen to the general. God is speaking constantly.
All the time.
All the time. Every day, every minute, every breath that you have is the voice of God. Because it's only by his pleasure that you exist. It's by His hand that we have our being, right? In Him we live and move and have our being. Now, in that, we have to understand. If you want to learn to tune in and hear the voice of God, how many people want to tune in and hear the voice of God?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do some very specific things. We're going to talk about some very specific things. Very practical, down-to-earth, specific things. Not some deep theological, yes, I must meditate on a bed of rice. We're going to talk about some just very specific things that will help you to tune in and hear the voice of God your Father. Because He is speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't hear Him, it doesn't mean He's quiet.
Sorry.
It means you don't hear Him. Or you hear Him and you're not recognizing Him. You're like a 13-year-old who's being told they don't get what they want. And you go, "La la 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 la. I can't hear you. I can't hear you." How many parents know what selective hearing is? It's when you speak to your child and they go, "I didn't hear you say take out the trash. I heard you say right after that I could go to that party I wanted to. I didn't hear about the trash."
I'm going to tell you real quick the difference between hearing and listening. The definition of listen is to gather information. We've asked people before, the next day, like on a Wednesday, "So, what did you think of the Word of God?" "I don't remember what you talked about." I said, "Were you there?" "I was there." So, that means you were hearing, but you were not listening. You heard what was said, but you weren't gathering any information about it. And so, it was there, and it was gone.
See, I think I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start calling people Sunday evening. What was the sermon about?
Do you even remember the
only
title?
Those faces I see. You've already listened to it, I know. If I call you in the they are now.
We got
I'm
it fixed.
So sorry. We finally got the people in Philadelphia to get our messages up, and so we're going to get caught up, and those things will be on there. And I do apologize.
P is out there.
P is out there, and P and we. I hope R is not. Did we didn't do P and then R. Okay, I pray it's P, U, and R. Okay. Anyway, we will get them out there. So you, then I will not call you. But I'm going to start calling you in the evening and go, "How'd you like the message?" "It was good, Pastor. What did I talk about?"
"Man, what did he talk about?
I don't know.
Get my notebook. Ask the children. They
That's
were
right.
listening.
They were listening. They're used
so,
to learning."
All right, we're going to talk to you about how to hear the voice of your Father. First of all, when somebody comes to me and goes, "What? What? What?" You know what I tell them? Always the same thing. Those little white fluffy things, take them and put them in your ear and get the goobers out of your ear because you are not hearing. So first of all, We need to clean our ears from the worldly wax. Clean our ears from the worldly wax.
So here's the six things that create worldly wax. The first one is fear. First one is fear. When we have our ears stopped up with fear and we come to hear the voice of God, all we can hear is the voices of fear. Well, what if he says this? And what if he says that? And what if he doesn't say this? And what if he doesn't say that? And we have so much here, all we can hear is the voices of fear. And so we cannot hear the voice of our Father.
The next wax of the world, unbelief. He probably won't talk to me anyway. I don't even know why I'm bothering. He doesn't talk to me. I probably should go to somebody else who he talks to because he wouldn't talk to me because I'm not worthy and because I've done this and I've done that. And certainly. And that unbelief stops your ears up. You're so busy telling yourself why you can't hear that he's not going to speak. That unbelief keeps you from hearing all over the place.
Number three, pride. I just want to tell you why I'm here, God. I really want to hear your voice, but really I want to make sure that you understand this is what I want to hear your voice about. I know we've got a lot of things to cover, but I need to talk to you about this, and I need to hear your voice in regards to this. And we come with all of our agenda and all of our pride, and then we can't hear his voice because all we can hear is all of our agenda and all of our pride.
Say amen or oh me. The next one is rebellion. Oh, some eyes jumped on that one. I thought pride was bad. Oh, Lord. Rebellion, not that. Some of you got big old goobers of rebellion shoved in your ear, and you don't need a Q-tip. You need a giant wooden spoon to dig that out. Because that rebellion says, all right, I am here to listen, God, unless you say A, B, or C. How many of you would like to have your teenager come and go, yes, I am ready to listen to you. Don't you dare tell me that I can't go to that party on Saturday. Don't you dare tell me that I can't do, I don't want to hear you. You'd be like, oh, no, you didn't. I am about to separate your head from your shoulders. Like my daddy used to say, I'll make a new one of you. Yeah, I'm just going to say it's time for a new one of you. So, rebellion.
The next, worldly voices. We come to hear the voice of God and we bring all of the worldly voices in the middle of the conversation. Well, yeah, but my mom said. Well, yeah, but my aunt, you know, she's the most spiritual member of my family, God. She said. Well, yeah, but those 14 books I read, God, they said. I know you're saying this, but you know, that person I went and talked to, I mean, this is what they said. And we bring all of our worldly voices and we parade them before God. And then we wonder why we can't hear his voice.
Number six, apathy. Fine, I'm here. I'll listen or not if you speak or not. Honestly, I don't care. I mean, I have a lot of other things to do. I'm a pretty busy guy. And I know I should, but I just don't care. I know I should, but I just don't care. If you want to talk to me, that's fine. Or not. I'll manage. See, that apathy causes you not to hear him. Because it doesn't matter to you. You don't value it, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
A humble, desperate sinner will hear more clearly from God than a believer whose ears are full of fear, unbelief, pride, rebellion, worldly voices, apathy.
Mm-hmm.
See, look, R.W. Schombach, you guys have heard us talk about him. He went home to be with the Lord. About a week ago, 86 or something. Here's this sinner, young man, walking down the street. R.W. Schombach as a young man, walking down the street, and a street preacher says, you, the Holy Spirit says to you, get your life right or go to hell. And he fell on his knees and said, what must I do to be saved? Now, I'm going to tell you what. Ask somebody who would listen. But see, he didn't have all that garbage in his ears. Boom! He listened and was obedient. But first of all, he heard the voice of God. Not knowing God at all. See, but there are people in the church who got so much of this junk in their ears, they hear it all the time. Blah, 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 blah. And they, it, now look, I'll let you in on a little secret. This ear is about 30% good. I can hear about 30% out of this ear. This ear, I have excellent hearing. But when I lay my head on the pillow, on my right side, because my wife lays on my right side, and I turn to her, and she begins to talk, I hear this. At which point I usually go, uh-huh, baby. unless it's looking like it's something important. And then I have to pull my ear up off of the pillow and go, what, honey? Because, see, I can hear. But, see, that's what a lot of people sit in church and do, is they hear this. And the preacher says, Jesus. And then they go home and go, I don't know why my life is the shambles. I go to church every Sunday. And they hear the voice of God like this. Right?
Mm-hmm. So if you want to learn to hear his voice, one of the first things you have to do is you have to make a place for it apart from the rest of your general life. Apart. God just doesn't come and just speak haphazardly anywhere. I'm going to tell you this with all love. He is not at all interested in being just another voice in your life. He really isn't. He is not at all interested in competing with all of the other voices in your life. And so many people come to God like this. They come to seek a divine, majestic, supernatural voice in the same way that they come to listen to the radio or the television or a librarian or my tax accountant. And here's how you can tell. They'll do it all at the same time. I want to hear from you, God. Here, I'm going to be reading my Bible, and I'm going to be texting somebody, and I'm going to be watching TV, and I'm doing all these, I'm listening to all these voices at the same time as I'm trying to hear your voice, God. Now, do you think that honors him at all? Do you think that makes him feel special? Do you think it makes him feel like his voice is any different than any other voice in your life? I don't think so. His voice is majestic. His voice is the voice above every other voice. And I believe if we would learn to come to him more reverently and to set it apart. There is a reason that we do things like shut the door when you come in here. Because we don't want this to be just another commonplace. There's a reason we say shh when we pray. There's a reason they're teaching them down in Kids' Choice. When pastors are praying or talking, you should be quiet. Why? Not so that you can hear our voice. You don't need to hear our voice. But what you do need to hear is the voice of God. And so often, this is what we do. I believe, I'm going to say this is Beth. I believe that spiritual ADD is an insult to the voice of God. Because what we do is, your voice is so common, you have to compete with all of the other voices in my life, God, for me to hear you. And I believe it's an insult to him. I really do. Deuteronomy 5:29 says, oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Not so that I can be some big dictator in their life because I'm on some big power trip here, so that it might go well with them and their children forever. Now, if you sit and text in church and do all these things, I'm not getting on you. I'm just saying, if you want to hear the voice of God, you might come to him and act like his voice is more important for you to hear than all of the other voices going on around you in that moment.
I mean, I want you to think about this. How many of you have ever been late to church? Come on, raise your hands, all of you. And How many of you have maybe gotten a little sleepy, maybe had to go take a phone call, got up to go to the bathroom? Oh, God, he's going on forever. I'm not offended. It doesn't bother me at all. I won't preach with you here or not. However, what if the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, walked into this room, sat in a chair right here and said, I want to talk to you? How many of you would get up and walk out? How many of you would answer a phone call if you got one? Or try to text? Or play on your iPad? Or put your iPod in? Or play zombie death on your iPhone? I'm just saying.
While listening to the Word of God, of course.
I don't see any conflict there. But here's the truth. How many of you, if Jesus were here himself, would do that? What if it was the King of England? What if it was a billionaire? What if it was your great-great uncle's lawyer who has just come to tell you what your inheritance is? See, all of a sudden those things, you're like, Ruth, your great-great uncle passed away. I'm his lawyer, and I'm going to be reading his will, and I would like you to be there. And Ruthie's going to bust on to get there, right? And she's going to be like, I'm listening. And the phone rings, and she's like, I can't talk to you now. I'm focused. Because he goes, and Ruth gets a total equaling, right? You're going to be like, come on. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Psalm 81, 11 through 12. Psalm 81, there it is. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. Now, God did not say I'm going to punish them. Did he? Nope. He just said, okay. I'm going to give you, so what it's, when you're with a horse, it's called giving them their head. A well-trained horse, it's no big deal. To one that has not been broken yet, it is the scariest thing you will ever feel. You give them their, because see, like an untrained horse, you wrap your fingers around those reins, and you're like, no, we're going right, no, we're going left. Sometimes that how God has to do with us. But a well-trained horse, you can just literally allow those reins to lay on their neck. That's what God says. My people wouldn't listen. I got tired of jerking their head this way and that way. I said, fine. Go whatever direction you want. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. Because he will not force you to listen. He will wait for you to make a desired place. To make a desired place and time to hear from him. I'm going to say that again. He will wait for you to make a desired time and place for him. This would be a good place to say amen. Amen. Which means let it be to me also. Because that's what you need to do, is make a desired place for him. Moses was set apart when he heard. He's walking along in the desert and there is a bush on fire. Oh my, a bush on fire that is not being consumed. What did he do? He stopped what he was doing. He went over and he stood. And what happened? The voice of God said, remove your sandals, for the ground that you stand on is holy. He made a place. He got out of his duties. He was a shepherd. He was watching his father-in-law's sheep. He probably should have been at work, but he said, wait a minute, this is important stuff. In Exodus 19, Moses comes to the children of Israel and he says, The Lord has said, prepare yourselves and set yourselves apart. So he says, sanctify yourselves. The Lord wishes to speak with you.
Set yourself apart. Make a prepared place. In 2 Kings 4, 8 through 10. One day, go ahead, you can read it.
No, you have glasses. No.
No.
We made other provisions. Praise the Lord.
No. A well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know this man who comes by our way is a holy man of God. Let us make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. What did she do? She recognized the voice of God. She recognized the man of God. And they made very special preparations to hear whenever he came in. 2 Kings 4, it's 8 through 10. Again, God is not going to compete to be heard. He will wait on you to be ready to wait on him.
Come on.
Okay? He's not going to compete. He's going to wait on you to be ready to wait on him and to hear from him. He comes to a prepared atmosphere. We prepare this atmosphere. We put a lot of time and preparation into making an atmosphere. We say, God, we welcome you here. We're putting all the world out there. You need to take phone calls, go out there. You know why I just told somebody to go turn off the kitchen light? Because the kitchen light, everybody's going to stand in there and talk. And this is not talkie-talkie time. You want talkie-talkie time, you can go out to your car. This is time to listen, to hear the voice of God, to worship, not to go have coffee. So we turn the lights off because it sends a message. We close the door. Why? Because we were preparing a place. When Elisha went up to lay upon that dead boy, you know what he did? He shut the door. You know what he was doing? He was saying, I don't need any of the worldly nonsense in here. I don't need any of the unbelief. I don't need any of the chitter-chatter. I don't need any of the commentary. I don't need nothing. I need the world to stay out there, and I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to close the door, and I'm going to lay on this child with all the faith in God that I already know. And what happened was God confirmed his word. Why? Because the boy was raised. But he shut the door. He prepared a place. And you need to do that. You're going to have to set the world out a little bit. Say, I'm sitting right here in this place, Lord, and I'm waiting to talk to you.
Here's the next thing. When you're looking to hear the voice of God, here's where the voice of God comes to. An expectant atmosphere. An expectant atmosphere. Which is, I am expecting my God and my Father to speak clearly to me. I am expecting to hear the voice of the one who moves the universe. I am expecting, Lord, for your word to confirm in me what you've already spoken. Mm-hmm. See, I'm expecting. Look, I don't know about you, but when I come to church, I'm expecting something. Every time, I'm expecting something. I'm expecting somebody to jump up and say, I'm healed. I'm expecting somebody to jump up and go, I just got a phone call. That's why I left, Pastor, because my great uncle died and he left me $250 million. And I want to write my tithe check right now. I want them to say, you know what? My mom, who we've been praying for, she just said she gave her heart to the Lord. See, look. I come expecting. You've got to come expect. If you want the voice of God to come, you got to come expecting. I mean, how many people invite somebody to your house and they go, I don't know if I really want to come over or not, but I mean, I suppose I might, but I really don't care. I mean, if I show up, it'll be all right. You'd be like, woohoo. Really got my hopes set on that one, right? But if you invite somebody over, house? Oh my goodness. Oh, I can hardly wait. I'm so excited. It's like a teenager. It's like Nikki going on an airplane. I get to go on the airplane. And look, I spend a lot of time on airplanes. And when they put all this security in, I'm like, oh, jeez, I take my boots off. I take my belt off. She's all like, I get to go through security. That, I'm telling, God is going to bless that. I don't know why, but she's just expecting. I am so excited. God loves that.
He's going to speak in a believing atmosphere. In a believing atmosphere. How much do you desire to share your heart with somebody that doesn't believe anything you say anyway? You ever been in a conversation with that? You're talking to somebody and you know that everything that you're saying, they're not going to believe anyway. And so I don't even know why I'm wasting my breath. Come on. And this is what we do with God. We want him to talk to us. And yet he knows we're not believing much of what he says anyway. We know he knows we're not really expecting. Have you ever been talking to somebody and you know they're not really listening anyway, and so you just quit talking to see if they'd how long it would take for them to notice you're not talking anymore?
Andy does the random thing.
Can I tell you God does that sometimes? Sometimes he stops talking to you because you're not listening anyway. And because his words are valuable. That doesn't mean he stops talking altogether. He's still talking. It's just somebody else who really wants to hear his voice is hearing.
So I was doing this the other day. I am talking along and somebody is texting or, I don't know, playing game or something like that. And I just stopped in midstream. Just wonder if they even notice. If I'm even existent. It took a couple minutes, but it was like, go ahead, finish what you were saying. Oh, okay. And I think God does that sometimes too. You're just not paying attention? I can wait. I'll wait. When you're ready, I will speak. He's not angry. He's not dismissive. He's not frustrated with you. He just says, oh, wait. I have time. Just eternity. Do you?
You may not have time, but he does.
The next thing that he comes to, the voice of God comes to, a dangerous atmosphere. Dangerous atmosphere. Now you remember Balaam, priest who was trying to get some reputation, trying to get a few bucks in his pocket, and decided that he was going to go and see if God would allow him to curse the children of Israel. And he asked him so many times, God, by the way, he did not hear the voice of God. So he asked God, can I curse them? And the first time, God said, no. First of all, he was dumb enough to ask. But second of all, then he asked again. And then he asked the third time. And the third time, God, like it said before, my people wouldn't hear my voice anyway. So I let them do whatever they wanted to. Knock yourself out. Turned you over to yourself. So Balaam jumps on his donkey, starts whipping the donkey to go. And all of a sudden, the donkey stops. And he's whipping that donkey and beating that donkey. Get your silly donkey hind end going. And that donkey turns around and goes, how many times have I disobeyed you? Why are you whipping me? Look there. That's a paraphrase. Read it. But the donkey actually speaks. They did not.
Exactly.
I heard you say, don't take the car, Dad. I just didn't care. And so Balaam goes out. And there before him stands an angel of the Lord with a sword in his hand, ready to cut Balaam in half. And all of a sudden he goes, you're the smartest donkey in the world. I think we're going to have some hay. We're going to go back and get some alfalfa. Because, see, look, years ago, a man in our congregation had come to Beth and I probably every day for a couple of months. I can't hear the voice of God. I just can't hear the voice of God. And then, on a construction site, he's standing there, and he hears a voice say, move. And he jumped out of the way, and a pallet, about 1,500 pounds, fell on the ground right where he was standing. He said, do you think you can't hear the voice of God now? See, look, he's talking all the time. Can you imagine how loud he had to speak at that moment? See, sometimes in a dangerous situation, he's got to get us in that dangerous situation, or we get ourselves in a dangerous situation, and then the voice comes.
And you better hope in that moment that your ears are not so stopped up with worldly wax. Do you know that he didn't move the first time he told him to move? It was the third time. And he went, well, I don't. In fact, if he tells you the story, he'll tell you, I wasn't even completely sure this was God, because he was pretty convinced he couldn't hear from the voice of God. He's like, maybe I should just see. Boom! Now, what if he'd have just stood there? He would not be doing what he's doing today.
He would.
Oh, my.
He would be hearing the voice of God.
This is true.
That's for sure.
From a pancake position or
Lord, it's me. Do you recognize me?
Your servant hears you. I always hear you. When you go to hear the voice of God, you're like Samuel. Say, speak, Lord. Your servant listens. Your servant listens. Many people live disappointed lives because they miss appointments with God.
Hold on. Get your pen. Get your pen. You should write this down. This should be on your refrigerator. This should be on your bathroom mirror. This should be wherever you will see it.
Many people live disappointed lives because they miss appointments with God.
Like I was talking about, if I told you your favorite rock group or your favorite actor or your favorite relative was going to be here, you would make sure that you were here. We make appointments with God, or God makes appointments with us, and we're like, oh, I'll get to that thing later. I know I said I'd be here at this time, Lord, but something came up. How many of you would do that if he was standing face to face with a voice like many waters,
right,
with the hands that hold the universe, and he looked in your face with eyes like burning coals, and you said, ESPN's on.
Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You know what's so amazing about this? If Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God are all one, why would he need to go to a solitary place and pray?
Couldn't he just talk to himself?
Why? To show you an example of what you need to do. That's why. He went to a set-apart place to pray, to hear the voice of his Father, to hear the words of his Father. That's what you're going to have to do. Not just here, not just Tuesday, not just Sunday, but you're going to have to daily set aside a time to just hear his voice. Just, again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, by the words of God. You've got to get to the place where, Lord, I'm going to set time aside, a time every day, even if it's just a few minutes. It doesn't have to be 5 hours, but daily time where I come not just to talk at him, but I am here to hear from you, Lord. That is why I am here. And I expect to hear from you. And I want to hear from you. And I am setting aside, I'm putting my cell phone in this room, and I am going outside to that room. Can I tell you, anybody that calls, he's going to take care of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's okay to walk away from the world every once in a while just to hear the voice of God. On a daily basis, come into that place and say, I'm going to take this time to hear from you.
By the way, don't get your offended pants on if somebody that you call does not answer your phone in 30 seconds. or doesn't return your call in 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, or an hour. I had somebody who was offended at me the other day because I didn't return their phone call quickly enough. I apologize. First of all, there's a couple of things going on. Second of all, if I'm the most important thing in your life, you need a new focus. I'm just going to say, I'm not that important. I am not the be-all, end-all in your life. Nor should anyone else be. We're looking for the voice of God. We are going to pursue the voice of God. And here's what it takes. To wait. To hear Him.
Wait
upon the Lord. Wait. We stink at this in the society.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, this food takes so long, 2 minutes in the microwave. It's ridiculous. I remember when, oh my gosh, I had to turn a stove on. Because there was no microwaves. I mean, seriously? Now we have bread makers. Makes it only 38 minutes. I remember when that was an all-day chore. But baby, when that bread came out, Mama put it up there on that old cutting board right by the window. But see, we've got to learn to wait. We've got to have that time that we're going to stick to. Make a time, make an appointment with God. Here's my promise to you. If you make an appointment with God, He will keep it. He will never stand you up.
That's right.
But pick something that you won't stand Him up.
Amen.
If you are not a morning person, do not say, I'm going to get up at 5 in the morning. Because you're a liar. Because at 5 o'clock when your alarm goes, I'm going, hit snooze. Oh, I knocked the clock off. Oh, it's okay. And then you'll feel bad. And you'll have missed your appointment with Him. Even if it's just like 20 minutes a day. Even if you're just, it's you drive to work, you get to work 10 minutes early, 20 minutes early, and you just sit in your car. My time just used to be when I was driving to work, I had an hour plus commute on the way there and on the way back. And I just put in the Word of God on tapes. And just had it going. I don't even know that I was always listening to it, but it was always in me, and I was there in His presence. It's that simple, but make that appointment. Because now here's the thing. If you were going to an appointment with, the CEO of a huge company, president of the National Football League, or whoever, someone important, here's the question. What would you bring? What would you bring? I brought my autographed Tim Tebow football so that I could have the whole team autograph it. See, whatever it is, what you bring is going to indicate. When I did interviews, when people would come, and they come in ratty old jeans and unkempt shirt, and they'd be like, hey, I'm here. Like, really? This is important to you. I wasn't looking for a three-piece Armani suit, but I was looking for you at least to have a little preparation in you. What did you bring? Did you read the ad? The ad said, bring this and this. Well, I left it at home. Thanks for playing. Have a nice day. What you bring is going to indicate what you're looking for. For and what you're expecting from your time with God. Okay, God, I'm here. 19 minutes, you got it. Go ahead. Pour in. Really? If I told you, Jason, I'm going to meet you tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, and I am going to give you a 38-digit Swiss bank account number, and in it is $1 million, which you can have. Are you going to bring something to write down? I bet you do. I bet you bring a lot of things to write it down. And you're like, yeah, because you get there, oh, my pen doesn't work. Eh, I'll catch you tomorrow. A recorder. Well, I'm gonna bring my recorder and my iPhone and my video and my pen, and I'm going to be like, yes, I'm ready. Go ahead.
Psalm 119:147. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. Bring a right heart. Bring a right heart. Bring praise and worship on the inside of you. Don't just start off with, okay, I'm here and I need to hear from you and let's just go. Again, start by getting your own heart right. Bring a little worship. Bring a little praise. Maybe you got a little song on the inside of your heart you want. It says he inhabits the praises of his people. Sometimes when we set ourselves apart from God, one of the first things we need to get ready to hear from him is us. Ask him, say, Lord, give me a worship song. Or think of your worship song that you really love and just, you know, sing it out loud or sing it on the inside or play one of your worship songs. I don't care. But get yourself in the place of worship and praise so that your ears are opened up and in tune. Spirit cries out to spirit. Don't try to hear him with your flesh. But you got to get your spirit tuned in with the Spirit of God. And sometimes that's going to require worship.
Okay. Bring your word. Bring your word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you a quick little visual. I have been traveling for a week and a half, and I am looking forward to coming home to my wife. And I say, been missing you, babe. Come on, let's go. Talk to me. Let's go. We got about half an hour. Let's go. How many of you think that's going to work? Those of you who think that's going to work, come up here, I'm going to slap you. Because, I'm just going to say, that is not going to fly in any way. But here, how about this? I come home, I'm like, wait just a minute, baby. I have got to tell you how much you mean to me and how much I have been longing to spend time with you and how precious you are to my heart. I'm gonna put our favorite love song on. Hang on. I'm going to turn our favorite love song on while I'm here. And by the way, I wrote you this love letter. And this love letter tells you all of the things that you mean to me. Now, how many of you know that there is going to get a response? And she is going to speak to me. Now, why do we not come to God, who is the lover of our souls, in that same way? With that hunger and that desire that says, Lord, I just want to be with you. And I'm setting aside everything else for you. You're the most important thing to me.
And I'm bringing my word, which I know is your word. And I brought a piece of paper. And I brought a pencil. Because if you say something really important, I want to write it down because I don't want to forget it. Because I know sometimes I forget things. And so I'm ready. And I'm waiting. And I just want to hear from you. One word from God can change your life forever. Forever. It's not about how many words you get. It's about the fact that you got a word from your Father and you knew it was His word to you. And so you come and you bring your word, and you bring your expectant heart, and you bring your worship, and you say, Lord, I just want to hear from you. Tell him what's going on in your life. You know, Lord, I got this thing, and I'm not really sure what to do with it, and I know you know what to do with it, and I just need some help, Lord. I just want to talk to you. I'm not really sure how to handle this situation with my daughter. I've tried this, and I've tried this, Lord, and I feel like I keep missing it. Can you tell me what to do? And then close your mouth a little bit. And wait. He might direct you to go to his word. Or he might just give you a word. He might just say one word. He might just say love. And write it down. You know what I think you're saying to me, Lord, is I just need to continue to love her. And although a lot of people are telling me that I need to do the tough love thing and push her out, I know what you're telling me is I need to love her. That's what I'm going to do. Just Just write down what you think. After a while, what's going to happen is you're going to realize you hear his voice. Open your Bible. Open it not just to learn about him. Open it to learn who he is. Read his word. Lord, I want to hear from you. I don't want to just study you like you're some history book, like a math book. Lord, these are your words. This is the living word of God. Lord, I want to hear from you. So I'm opening my Bible, and I'm going to begin to read. And I'm going to write down what I think you said to me today. What if you sat there for an hour and he told you three words? Is it somehow any greater or lesser than if you sat down with somebody you love and he gave them 103 words? Does it make any difference? Not at all. So don't compare yourself to other people and how they hear and what they've heard. You learn how to hear from God.
Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." You know what they were looking for? An answer. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, they had made a place. You've got to prepare a place of solitude for you and him. Don't have the television on and the radio on and have the dogs running around and just stop. Lord, nothing is as important as you are.
We sang that song, Word of God Speak. And there's a line in there that says, "Washing my eyes to see his majesty." I want you to think about that. Word of God Speak. Washing my eyes. This is usually how we come. Word of God Speak and wash away all the blinders from my eyes so I can hear the answer that I need. It says, Word of God Speak, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Not your answer to my problem, but to see your majesty. If you can get yourself in right alignment with God, you will hear his voice every day. And you will begin to have confidence and faith to know that no matter what is going on in my life, I hear you, Lord. I always hear you. I come every day expecting to hear your voice about something general in my life. Something general.
You've got to create a place of worship. You've got to create a place of expectancy. You've got to create those things in order to bring him to a place where you can hear. He's still talking. It's us that has to be ready.
Amen?
It's us.
Now, next Tuesday, we're going
to
be talking more about confirming signs. How do I know if it's God's voice or my voice?
The different ways God speaks. How to know it's him. I don't know how many times I've thought, I feel like I got this thing, but I don't know if it's God. Right?
How to, what Kyle said, heed the voice. How to steward the word that you've been given. We have a responsibility to the words that we've been heard from God. The specific words that we've heard and just the day-to-day words that we've heard from God. We have a specific responsibility with those things.